Welcome to Money Markets and Masterminds, a Citywire South Africa podcast that delves into the intricate world of finance, investment, and strategic decision-making. If you're a fund selector, independent financial advisor, or institutional capitalist looking for insights, analysis, and expert opinions to enhance your perspective, you're in the right place here with me, editor Ruan Uister. It's a very cold morning here in Cape Town, and I'm recovering from a terrible chest infection, so my voice is particularly husky this time around. So depending on how you roll, I either apologize in advance or just urge you to enjoy the show. Today, we're unpacking the 2025 FNB Retirement Insight Survey, one of the most comprehensive studies on how South Africans are preparing for life after work. It's the third year of this research, and it's becoming clear. Awareness is up, but execution remains a challenge. Joining me is Samukelu Zwane, Product Head at FNB Wealth and Investments, and one of the leading voices behind the report. Together, we'll explore what it really means to go from simply having a plan to having a good plan and what advisors need to do to make that happen. Samukelu, or Sam as we affectionately know him, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ryan. Greetings to you and greetings to the listeners.
Let's start with the basics. What is the methodology behind this research and what is FNB Wealth and Investment trying to achieve with it?
Thank you, Ruan. I think this is the third year, as you've mentioned, of the FNB Retirement Insight Survey. And the survey is actually targeted at clients who are banked with all the different banks, and they're actually bucketed according to the different segments. It gives us an insight into how our clients actually perceiving retirement. Is there their journey towards retirement, a journey that is informed? Do they have the right tools? Do they have the right advice? Are they confident about, you know, the strategies that they are using to save for retirement? And we unpack this from a pre-retirement perspective, whereby we look at the people that are age below 60, and we're actually assessing their confidence towards saving for retirement and the different strategies they are using. And then we look at the over 60s. In there, we unpack, you know, the journey that the people have gone through as they're saving for retirement, how they're actually experiencing retirement, and also unpacking the different lessons that they're actually that they can actually give with regards to retirement savings and what they've done right or what they've done wrong. For the first time this year, Ruan, we've actually included a qualitative session with regards to our survey, whereby we then looked at how do people actually interact with the different financial products that are being offered when it actually comes to retirement planning. We'll give you an example. So we checked how do people actually, do they actually make the linkage between the use of a retirement annuity and retirement? Do they make a linkage between the use of a life policy and retirement? Do they actually make a linkage between having a will as well as maybe doing estate planning and link that to retirement savings? And that's actually giving us an understanding whether people have sufficient knowledge and understanding how these tools work together in terms of enabling one to actually save properly for retirement, as well as the fact that when you actually have saved for retirement, how do you preserve those savings and how do you actually make sure that those savings that you have actually done towards retirement, they're actually transferred to the next generation in the event that you actually pass away.
Sam, let's move over to the two-pot retirement system, arguably the biggest shift in our retirement landscape in years. Your survey found that while 69% of consumers are aware of the system, only 26% have made withdrawals. What do you make of that balance between access and restraint?
This is actually an encouraging stat in that, you know, as much as, you know, 69% of the people are aware of two pots, you know, the fact that they can actually access a third of their savings, you know, going forward. But only about, you know, a quarter of, you know, respondents actually withdrew from their two pots allocation. So this shows that the education that's been done by most financial institutions around the dangers of actually using the two pots, one-third savings portion to actually being an amount that you can access at any point in time, it shows that people are actually aware that this is actually going to cause a drag with regards to their retirement savings. It shows that people are aware that, you know, they need to actually try and preserve this money and make sure that they maximize their savings when it comes to retirement savings. And then, you know, we also analyzed with regards to those that are actually taking up this, you know, one third, you know, where are they using it? So we do see that some of the people actually are actually faced with emergencies, and they're actually, this is actually their last, you know, option. But for others, we can actually tell that, you know, more education needs to be done with regards to, you know, the usage of the two pots.
Many respondents did say they withdrew to cover daily expenses or repay debt, but they were also discretionary spends like holidays or new appliances. And as you wrote in the survey, behavioral guidance is key here. What does effective guidance look like for advisors and providers in this space?
Thank you, Ruan. I think the most important thing for people to be aware of when you're actually saving for retirement, as well as the two-pot system, it's a well-balanced system. I mean, only a third, you can only access a third of your retirement savings now, and then the two-thirds, you can only access it when you get to retirement. So it has actually forced compulsory preservation. So people going forward will actually preserve two-thirds. That's versus before, whereby less than 10% of the people were actually preserving. So now 100% of the people are going to be preserving two-thirds of their money. So that's basically the first aspect. So it's a very good system in that regard. But it's very critical for people to understand that if you actually start using that one-third that is accessible on a regular or an annual basis, then that is actually going to cause a drag for you. So it's very important for people to understand that before you actually use your one third, you must exhaust all other means of, you know, credit or access to income that you can actually use before you actually access this one third. So, and you must be using it for emergencies whereby, you know, you do not have any other option. I'll give you an example. If you are in danger of your house being repossessed and you've actually explored all other options and the only money that you have is now, you know, your one third under your two pots, then those are type of instances that you should actually consider using this amount of money. But if you're actually using it to go on holiday, then that does not show the urgency with regards to using this money. Maybe postponing that holiday or trying to actually use different savings for that holiday would be a better option. So we're saying, for this situation, sit down with your advisor and actually find out whether the use of the money, is it warranted, or you have other options that you can use before you actually tap into this one third. Otherwise, we're still going to have the challenge whereby, you know, less than 10% of South Africans are not able to retire properly, you know, which is actually unpacked in our statistics, whereby less than 10% of South Africans are not able to retire properly. And then with the introduction of this two-pot system, we are hoping that in the future, in the next 10 to 20 years, that statistic is going to improve to at least maybe 50% of South Africans are able to retire comfortably.
Oh, that sounds like good news to me. Sam, the headline finding is that 60% of under 60s say that they now have a retirement plan. But you also caution against false confidence and say not all plans are created equal. So what distinguishes a good plan from a superficial one?
This is a great question, and it was quite interesting for us when we actually look at the pre-retirees and we ask them, do you actually have a retirement plan? And they say, listen, I do have a retirement plan. And then we go further, we unpack and say, how confident are you with your plan? And they say to us, you know what, I don't know, 80% of the people are saying, we are confident with our plan. And then we then ask a leading question that which says, do you have a retirement annuity that you're actually using to actually execute for a retirement plan? And then we see in there that only 25% are actually using a retirement annuity. Then that begs the question, you know, what type of retirement plan are you actually using if you are actually not using the legislated wrapper such as a retirement annuity or a pension fund for you to save towards retirement? And so that is why we're saying as much as 60% have a plan, we feel that more work needs to be done with regards to helping people to have proper plan, to actually save on the right, you know, vehicles, you know, do the proper diversification with regards to their, you know, savings and all the stuff, you know, and understand, you know, the benefits of actually saving in this, you know, retirement vehicle, such as, you know, your RAs, whereby you actually get tax deductions on the contributions that you've made towards your retirement savings. So all that is the amount of work that needs to be done, you know, so that people can actually have a good plan. So as much as 60% say they have a retirement plan, we think there's more work that needs to be done with regards to actually enabling people to have, you know, a better plan. So, you know, there's more advice that needs to come into space. There's more education that needs to be done so that people can actually have good plans.
Sam, a really compelling insight in the report is that the biggest obstacle to retirement readiness isn't apathy, it's inertia. That sense of being overwhelmed, what role do you see for advisors in helping clients overcome that mental block?
Absolutely. I think this is a great one as well, whereby we see that, you know, most of our respondents are actually overwhelmed with this retirement topic, and as well as the type of information that comes through from a retirement perspective. The first thing is people don't understand how much should they be saving. You know, they don't understand, you know, should I be saving 10%, 20%, 30%? They don't understand how much should they be saving. And furthermore, they don't even understand how much should they be saving for them to actually retire comfortably. You know, should it be, you know, up to the legislated 350,000 cap with regards to your tax deduction limits? You know, can I go over and above there? Will that benefit me in the future? Should I actually put it in discretionary savings and all that? So it is really, really overwhelming, you know, for them. And then what makes it even worse is that you can see that, well, for those that are actually approaching retirement, you can actually tell that they started very late saving for retirement. You can see that between ages 30 and 40, and yet they started working in their 20s. And then you see that they've actually lost a bit of time. They've lost on the compounding power of money as they saving towards retirement. So from an advisor perspective, it is very, very important that you approach this with a lot of emotional intelligence and an understanding that people actually need to actually ride this journey with you. And that's why we always say, you know, we need to sit down with people and talk about their budgeting. You know, how are you actually budgeting for your different expenses? Do you actually have money for your emergencies so that you do not actually disturb your long-term retirement savings in the event that you're actually you have an emergency that comes along? And do people have, you know, policies such as funeral policy or a life insurance policy for them to actually be able to tackle those events when they come through, instead of actually disturbing their long-term savings? So we advise that people actually look at a holistic, you know, financial plan when they actually tackle this retirement topic, instead of looking at it from a one-sided perspective.
Absolutely. You gave many examples of those kinds of micro interventions that advisors can use. Sam, the report argues that advisors' roles are expanding. It's no longer just about rebalancing portfolios or ticking compliance boxes. What does this new mandate look like in practical terms?
It's people are becoming more complex. And the retirement journey is changing. You know, we see that only 10% of respondents are intending on retiring fully when they get to age 60. That changes, that shifts, you know, the way that you're actually advising the people when it comes to retirement savings. And a number of reasons are contributing to that. One is this extension in life expectancy that we're seeing worldwide due to medical advances, scientific advances, which allows us to actually live much longer. And then as well as the fact that people have not saved sufficiently for retirement or they're starting late, that's actually contributing towards them delaying their retirement, you know, and saying, listen, I'd rather actually work part-time when I get to retirement. I'd rather, you know, have a secondary career, or even continue working full-time if I can still actually benefit my employer at that point in time. So the landscape has changed a lot when it comes to retirement savings. And financial institutions are enabling advisors to actually talk to that and to enable the clients to actually address their retirement needs based on these changes in the landscape. So it's very, very critical that we look at, you know, people as a sample of one, and be able to address their needs specifically, understand what is their intention around retirement. Do they want to actually maintain their standard of living? Are they willing to drop their standard of living? Are they willing to relocate and all those things? So we are saying that it's becoming more and more personalized when you actually look at this retirement journey, to such an extent that it even affects, you know, the type of asset allocation that you're doing for your, you know, clients. If a client is not intending at retiring at age 60, then there's no need for you to actually have an asset allocation strategy that actually drives towards less risky assets when they get to age 60. You want to make sure that they still have growth assets up until the point in time when they decide to retire. So it's becoming more nuanced, more specific. We look at people as a sample of one.
Sam, we've talked about how granular retirement advice should be, but we live in a globalized society. How should advisors prepare themselves to support clients who are planning to retire abroad, who have beneficiaries who live abroad, or those needing advice on tax residency, cross-border withdrawals, or foreign exchange?
Once again, I think this is quite critical that, you know, you actually have a clear idea in terms of those, you know, type of, you know, clients who actually are planning on actually retiring abroad and you know, the implications with regards to tax, you know, what type of, you know, wrapper, you know, that you can actually use for them, because they are wrappers whereby, you know, if a client wants to actually retire abroad, you can actually, you know, invest them in a specific wrapper that will allow them to benefit from actually having their monies abroad. And as well as the fact that, you know, in the event of death, that estate planning is done properly with regards to that. So more engagement with your fiduciary experts is quite critical with regards to that. More engagement with regards to your offshore retirement client, as well as understanding the different products that can enable the clients to actually retire abroad. You know, the solution does not only start at product level, even at your banking level. You know, it's quite critical to ensure that they actually have their offshore accounts. You know, they can receive money in currency, they can spend in currency, and they can actually contribute in currency as well. Those are the things that you need to ensure as an advisor when you're actually trying to actually help a client who's got, you know, ambitions of actually retiring abroad.
Sam, I want to end off this conversation on the confidence gap. Many consumers, especially younger ones, believe they'll replace 75% or more of their income at retirement, but they're not saving nearly enough. What are the dangers of this mismatch?
And it's very, very common, Ruan, when you're actually looking at the younger ages, especially those that are actually starting to work, and they do believe that whatever they're saving will allow them to actually maintain their standard of living when they get to retirement. And hence, they do believe that they can replace 75% or above of their, or above 75% to 100% of their income pre-retirement. Furthermore, when we actually go deeper and actually do unpacking, is that we see that the older, you know, respondents can actually pick up that they have not actually saved enough for them to get to that 75% replacement of income and on that. And they start adjusting to the reality. That is why we see people saying, listen, I'd rather not retire, you know, and still continue working when I get to retirement to supplement my retirement income. All those things come into play. So the first thing that we advise, or that we actually encourage young consumers to do, is to actually sit down with an advisor and actually find out what is the optimal savings that you can do towards your retirement if you want to actually have that replacement of 75%. That's the first thing. Secondly, do holistic financial planning, as mentioned earlier on. How much liquidity do you have? Have you paid off your expensive debts? Do you have policies that will cover you in the event of a car accident, in the event of a death, in the event of a funeral in your family, before you actually even do long-term savings, so that you do not disturb your long-term savings? You need to actually sit with your advisor and understand the implications of actually taking that one third from your two pot system. And how will that actually affect your ambitions of getting to that 75% replacement ratio? You need to have a proper understanding of the asset allocation that you're actually going to actually use with regards to your asset classes. If you're actually saving for a 20 year, 25 year goal, so that you can actually maximize your return over that particular period. So we say it is possible to get to 75%, but you need to have, you know, the right behavior, and you need to start early, and you actually need to engage an advisor if you want to get to that 75% replacement ratio.
Absolutely. It means that the gap analysis and income modeling have become crucial. Well, that brings us to the end of another fantastic discussion. With retirement planning evolving rapidly and reforms like the two-pot system shaking up the status quo, it's crucial to stay informed, stay proactive, and lean on expert guidance to help you retire comfortably. Thank you, Sam, for your time, your insights, and for joining us today for this episode of Money, Markets, and Masterminds. We look forward to continuing this conversation as South Africans move from any plan to a better plan. To all our CityWire South African listeners, thank you for tuning into this episode with me, editor Ruan Uester, and my producer, Alan Walsh, from the CityWire Studios team. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your network. We are available on all major platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Iono.fm. If Money Markets and Mastermind podcasts and videos, all Money Markets and Masterminds videos and podcasts are also available on our homepage. So please go register and explore our growing library of multimedia content. And with that, and until next time, goodbye.